Oh, Canada.
I want you to sing the first four bars for me.
En français.
Sure.
I don't remember it in French. We learned it in French when I was a kid.
Yeah, I always remembered it as Canada for the first half, and then it switched to French.
English the first half. We speak English in Canada.
Right.
Nobody speaks Canada.
You're right. It was. Did I say that? Did I say Canada?
Yes.
Oh, my good Lord.
Welcome to episode 235 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam.
In Vancouver, Canada, on Canada Day.
Yeah, Canada Day. Woo!
We've never recorded on Canada Day, have we?
Don't know.
I don't think we have. It's a holiday, and usually we're busy, I don't know, going to parades and whatnot.
Last year, we went to... Was it Canada Day? Yeah, we went to Canada Day parade together. So no, we didn't record because we were at the parade.
We unveiled the shirts last year on this day.
Oh yeah, live.
That's right. On at Canada Day.
Yeah.
So are you going to the parade today?
Probably for a portion of it. It goes on for like 3 days, so I think I'll only hit it for about an hour. Sarah's going to be in it with her dance company. So
okay,
I'm partially obligated.
And the Odds are playing there today.
Really?
The band.
Really?
You know the band I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's such a big deal that Dave Foley of Kids in the Hall tweeted about the Steveston Salmon Festival last night because the Odds are playing at the festival.
Really? Was there any details about where and when?
No. I'm sure you could check it out online somewhere.
I will do that. Not that it'll be really our family's cup of tea, but I'm interested now. So.
It falls apart in little pieces on the floor.
Okay.
That's one of the big hits.
Yeah. Sounds vaguely familiar.
You can check it out in the Richmond Review newspaper. Speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
We were featured in there recently.
Oh, yeah. You sent me the article.
Yes. So it was an article about me.
Yeah, yeah. And a little bit about me.
You squeaked in at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
so that was good.
No, I have a question. Was that in hard copy print in the Richmond Review?
Yes.
It was. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw the online. Well, we get it, but it's not something that I read regularly. Lisa often reads it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't generally read it.
Go back and find it out. I actually want you to grab it for me.
Well, I think timing-wise, I think you're out of luck because we had recycling day on Monday.
Mm.
And so what day? It would have been like last Saturday. Wednesday or something. Yeah, you should have given me a heads up and I would have collected a few of them for you.
I don't run the newspaper. I didn't know actually there. I found out later.
Oh, okay.
They don't deliver to Germany.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know how some newspapers like only do online articles sometimes and some are in their
print. Those are called blogs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. Sorry. So tell us a little bit more about this article.
No, you can just read it. I'll post a link to it. I've already posted it on our Facebook, but you can just a little story about how I got to be the coach and then talk a little bit about the two hosers at the end.
Okay, so now you're in Germany.
Yeah.
This article's in Richmond. How did this all come together?
Globally speaking, I'm a pretty big deal. So that's how it came about.
A little birdie kind of whispered to the Richmond Review that son of Richmond, Al Attridge, is doing big things in Germany.
I'm assuming that's how it happened, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay.
What else is going on?
Amazon,
sure. I haven't even gotten to there yet. That's way down. Oh, I skipped it by accident.
Okay, Amazon.
If you're going to buy, maybe I have to close my window because my kids are outside giggling and crying at the same time.
Hey, I didn't listen to last week's episode. Did you edit out all the comings and goings of you and your family?
Part of it. There was evident that something was going on. I left that part in.
Okay, you didn't leave in the bad father part where you got out the stick, the wooden spoon.
No, I make them go cut their own switch. and then they
beat
get
each
it,
other
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You have to do that. No, that part was all left out.
Okay.
Yeah, Amazon. That's it. Just if buy your stuff, if you're buying stuff on Amazon, click through our site. It doesn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us out. It helps us keep this going to number 235. That's what we're on now.
Wow.
Other than that, I don't know. My what's going on is a bunch of other stuff I wrote down that's not that important.
Okay.
My leg's better.
Great.
Yeah. We got rained out this week, and so I actually worked out. I had another week off, which my leg kind of needed. But so it's all better now. Back to practicing full strength, and we'll play on Saturday.
Okay.
Aren't you excited?
Good to hear. Rehab update.
Well, that's more. I'm more exciting for you as the massage therapist or whatever it is that you do.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Last week's episode, speaking of which, we talked about albums.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up cutting it off. Or at least I cut it off. I could have gone on for much longer.
I'm glad you didn't.
Nah, you were kind of interested because you could have gone on longer too, is what the impression I got. Not adding anything new, just basically rehashing old things, and but adding more albums to it. Because the more I thought about it after, I was like, oh yeah, that's a good album. That's a good album cover. Like, this more and more came to my sort of, you know, were brought back to my memory, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh man, like those were all good. So some of them were awful.
Yes.
If you think back. I afterwards I went and looked at like a top 100 albums of all time blog, or as you call it, online newspaper. Mm-hmm. And like one of them was like AC/DC's Back in Black. And I appreciate the subtlety of it, but it wasn't a good album cover.
I don't remember what it is.
It's just black and it says AC/DC on the front in like white letters. That's it.
Okay.
Which I guess with the death of Bon Scott and whatever, I don't know. However, I completely forgot to mention that each week we, create a new album cover for each episode.
Mm-hmm. And I've contributed about three.
You have done a few. Actually, somebody pointed out to me, someone gave me a count a while back. Last time you did one, someone told me, tweeted or something. Said, oh yeah, that's his third one.
Was it three?
I don't know. I honestly don't remember, but, no, but
I make them count. I make them count.
You do. You do. But it's important. It was important from the beginning because I am such a fan of album covers and that. And thus, one of our listeners also recommended a book, a guy named Dave, who he's the guy who re-recorded our theme song like a year plus ago.
Okay.
And so he's over here in Germany. He said, hey, go check out a book called 1,000 Record Covers. So okay. I did. Ordered it on Amazon, came today, and it's pretty cool. It's got it's right there in the title.
Does it give you like a little bits of like backstory or anything, or is it just literally the pictures?
It's literally the pictures, but there is some backstory on a few of them, and I haven't gotten to like I really have been able to spend 5 minutes with it today.
But there is some text. It isn't just a photo book.
It's mostly photos, but there is some text. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to diving through that, and because there are some really cool, you know, albums you've never heard of or albums that you definitely remember. So there you go. Check that out.
Okay. What did it cost you on Amazon?
It was $15.
Okay.
At hardcover.
Amazon.
Hardcover, yeah.
That's cool.
So I thought that was... it could have been much larger. It's actually a surprisingly small book, but I guess if it would be larger, it would probably be like $100. So I'm good with the 15 and going through it. So did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I took a picture of my daughter just prior to going out for her dance recital last weekend. That was it. I got the photography gear out, and I did a little one light shot in front of a wall that I used as our clean background for a black and white kind of headshot.
wildly simple for you. For you, that is slow pitch softball at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm guessing everybody loved it.
Mm-hmm. She, my wife posted it on Facebook, and yes, I mean, I liked it. I should post it on the Two Hosers. Never did. I will post it by the time we're talking about this. It will be posted on the Two Hosers Facebook. But yeah, just a super, super simple portrait shot. Her looking, in her mind, super fierce for her, she struck a modeling pose. And I liked it. Everybody else seemed to like it. But again, on Facebook, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt. But personally, I liked it. And that's really, and she liked it. And that's all that really matters.
I saw it. It was good.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now you liked it. So there's three.
Well, I don't say I liked it. I mean, you mean, do I like it in life or did I like it on Facebook?
Tough to say.
Because I like it in life.
Okay.
I don't like as much stuff on Facebook as evidently I should.
No, I don't like anything. It's a policy. I don't like things.
Even it's kind of a one-way street then. If you know, like you're sitting there hitting refresh. No one likes me. Refresh. No one likes me. Refresh. And then you don't like anybody else's. Well, that's just karma, man.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Me too. Turns out I'm fine with that as well.
Yeah.
I shot my kid's birthday party. My daughter had her birthday party a few days ago.
Okay, yeah. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, the only thing that I think would be noteworthy about it is the lack of photos. Like, it's way fewer photos than I have shot in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
Way fewer. Like, not just keepers.
I think that's normal. I think that's normal.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing missing. Like, I look at the photos and think, no, they're all there. Everything's there. You know, if I compare it to her first birthday, not only is everything there, but everything is there in triplicate.
Yeah, I'm down to just the cake photo is now, that's the birthday photo. That's the only photo I take.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, we did a fun little hike through the woods and stuff like that. There was events involved. And
Yeah. No, I'm good with skipping all of that, the cake photo.
Good. That might be where I get to in the next couple years.
Oh, yeah, you will get there. I promise you, by the time your daughter... Two more years. By the time your daughter is six, you'll have just the cake photo.
Even then? Does she still have cake then? I don't know.
She will have cake till she's 28.
Yes. So you're telling me your wife's 27 still?
Yeah.
No, your wife is older than that, and she still has cake.
She likes cake.
Well, I'm not saying she likes cake. I know she likes cake. Who doesn't like cake? Everybody likes
Jack. Jack does not like cake.
Yeah, well,
he's weird. He's a different breed, though.
I don't think he's doing it right.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He doesn't like ice cream either. So there you go. Doesn't like cake and doesn't like ice cream.
Well, that's excellent.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, I don't feel bad hitting him in the throat that time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time, maybe he'll like cake after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He you know what he said to me? Because we went to the field last weekend and with my dad and I, and we were playing baseball. And I said, do you want me to pitch overhand or underhand? And he said, I want you to pitch overhand, but don't hit me in the neck like Al did.
A year later.
Yeah. Still on the forefront of his mind. And he was kidding. Like, don't get me wrong. Like he was throwing that in for humor, but he's like, I want you to throw overhand, but just don't hit me in the throat like Al.
A year later, that's still resonating. Wow.
Yeah. So
I mean, percentage, like that is like almost 20% of his life ago.
Yeah.
And he's still.
Yeah, you've left a lasting impression on him.
All right, well, at least he's still playing. Good for him.
Yep.
Photo challenge this week. It was album cover because of last week's show.
Right.
So there you go. I shot mine immediately. We recorded, I shot, well, not the one I used, my alternate one. But I went out and started shooting my challenge basically an hour later.
Is that because you were so excited?
It was because I was so excited. And it just, I don't know, I guess I was just inspired. Like, it just seemed to me like all of a sudden there's album covers everywhere, you know? So I went and shot it right away. Ended up not using that one, but I'm going to post it anyway because I kind of like it. But I got to say, I really enjoyed this challenge.
Okay.
Because it was just wide open creatively. You could do whatever you want. And coming up with names for the band, that was kind of fun too.
I'm going to let you go first because you're too keen and I'm too tired.
Okay. So here's the one I went with. I went with the Shoes.
I got it. I see it.
Okay, great. Thoughts then?
I like the other one better.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
You're wrong.
I do. And I asked my wife too, and yeah. She also liked the other one better.
She likes my son's smiley face though, or just his
general.
That's
part of it. But that's part of what I like too.
See, to me, this is two different genres, like two different eras of music. Like this, the one I chose, the Skookum Shoes, that's the name of the band, of course.
Yes.
Not really a band, I don't think.
Maybe.
But I was kind of inspired by what we talked about U2's Joshua Tree.
Well, that's exactly what this reminded me of.
Because we talked about it, I guarantee you, zero other people.
I wouldn't have thought about it had we not just had it, but then as soon as I saw it, I said, hey, this kind of is the, it's again, more of the design, sort of the widescreen effect on the square cover, right? Like that's right. Really what makes you think of it. Plus, I mean, I don't remember exactly placement of font or anything on the job, but this, the font and the way it's lined up reminds me of it too. Is it similar?
I don't really remember actually.
Yeah. I think they have it small font lined up with the border. I think it might just be under the border in the picture or it might've been just okay. Above, but it all reminded me of the way the Joshua cover looked. But okay. So stylistically, I like it. I just don't particularly like the photo. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. The photo doesn't do anything for me.
Wow. This is where, again, I celebrate your ability to be wrong.
Okay.
I actually really like this photo. I mean, like I was out, you know, walking around with my son. This was taken on a different day than that, my alternate one. But I was just out walking around. He loves his new shoes, and he wanted to go out and walk around. And so we did. And I just happened to snap this photo, and I happened to really like it just for the simplicity of it all. The way he's leaning, like there's no trickery here. This is boom, snapshot out of the camera. Man, I turned it into black and white. I shot it in color, made it black and white because I knew right away I wanted it to be black and white.
Right.
Other than that, there's nothing else going on. It's just my 70-200 at 200 mils f4, which is why the depth of field is what it is. Again, there's no tricks there. It looks like you might have run it through a filter on Instagram, but nope. And I happen to really like this photo because of the balance, the simplicity of it all, the tear in the jeans. This is not the greatest photo I've ever taken, but I was really happy with it this week, and that's why I decided to make it an album cover.
Okay. So, well, we there's nothing wrong with it. It just doesn't leap out to me. Whereas I like the other one much better. So let's show us the other one.
Well, let's have a look at Snow Axe.
I think Snow Axe is the better cover.
Why do you think that's better?
Because of your kid.
Yeah, I also I agree. But it's the same kid in both photos. Same jeans, yeah. Actually.
Same jeans. Yeah. Yeah, no, I just like the photo. I like the hands. I think the purpose of the album cover, I mean, this is just in my mind, but the purpose of the album cover should be like to sort of really make you look at it a little while, because I'm thinking of people, you know, going through the record store, CD store, whatever, and flipping through, and boom, something sticks out to them. I think that should be, you know, in marketing or advertising with album covers, that should be the number one thing, is like make you look at it for a little while. And the shoe one just doesn't do that for me. And it might do it for you. It just doesn't do it for me. And whereas this one, and again, part of it's the colors, part of it's the kids and the hands. And there's a little more going on here. You're like, oh, it's deep grass. And because, you know, you lose where his legs go in here. And just it's kind of a neat sort of calm background that sort of leads towards him. I just again, it's a nice outdoor shot. He's not looking at the camera. You're wondering what he's looking at. So it does what I think the album cover should do, which is kind of make you pause and look at it for a little while.
Yeah, okay, in that respect, I do agree with you. I think as you're walking by it, and just it's just one's going to catch your eye. My eye is going to be caught by the shoe one. I will stay longer with the Snow Axe here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, but it does it to me. It felt like kind of like a 1970s feel to it. Like this should be an Anne Murray album.
Yeah, and that's fine. And again, we weren't going for a particular genre, and I agree. No. It does definitely have a 70s type feel. And some of that's just the colors, right? Like mm-hmm. it looks, the sort of warm tones has kind of like that 70s kind of washed out look a bit, right?
Right, which is what I did in order to kind of compress the dynamic range to capture everything. Because this was taken in the morning, probably around, I'm just going to go ahead and say 8:45 a.m. We went for a little walk, and just after, this is the one I took just after we recorded last week. And even then, you can see the sun's being a little bit harsh on the right side of his face. I'd like that to be a little bit less. I took it down somewhat, brought the shadows up a little bit with the slider in Lightroom. And then kind of muted the colors a little bit. Took the greens and pulled them down and left the mm-hmm. reds. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of give it that sort of washed out 70s look. Because that's kind of how it felt to me, and hence, any clue on the name of the band?
No, and I asked Lisa, I'm like, what's Snow Axe? And I was going to look it up, except for then I fell asleep.
Uh-huh, it's a deep cut. I'm not going to tell you on the air, I'll tell you off the air, but if anybody out there knows, I'm interested to know, and I'll be impressed. I will be very impressed if anybody out there catches the reference. So there you go. So that's the tale of my two.
Okay.
Let's have a look at yours. Okay. What's going on here? The selfie sticks. Good name.
Yeah, yeah. This is my father who agreed to participate, mm-hmm. and I thought I'm going to do something that just completely is going to draw attention. For the same reason I described to you, I thought album cover needs to really, you know, you need to look at it and go, what the heck is going on here? And so I got the small fist of, I believe that's Sarah's hand, because Sarah and Jack both took a turn, but I believe that's Sarah's hand. Small fist versus contorted face, and took a photo. So I'd set up the little black and white photo studio that was going to be for Sarah's picture, which I put on the web, or my wife did. And then I basically said, oh, hey, why don't I just do the album cover right now? Because I've already got a light set up and everything kind of dialed in. And then I just basically pulled my dad in, who was here to see the dance performance. So they were over mm-hmm. for the weekend, my parents. So I said, oh, let's do this. And he complied. And so then we just snapped a photo with the fist meets face with different contorted face looks. And I like this one. He wears glasses. So I had some where his glasses were like, you know, askew on his face uh-huh. with the contact, but it just seemed like it seemed too much. So I pulled the ones with the glasses and just went with a simpler one where he's kind of contorting his face. And then just came up with the name. I mean, I had an idea the selfie sticks was going to be the name regardless of what photo I used. Mm-hmm. And then just added the face breaker because it seemed to make sense. I had a couple of different titles, but I went with face breaker because it was simple. And of course needed the explicit content warning because to me that was kind of my youth. Any of the CDs I bought, it basically was a badge of honor to make sure it had the parental advisory on it.
NWA.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that was awesome. Good. I like it. To me, this looks like if Eugene Levy dressed up as Richard Dreyfuss for Halloween.
I'll tell him you said that.
Yeah. So it's good. So, I like it. This will definitely catch your eye, and it is one of those because it's your daughter's hand. That's what kind of makes it. I'll say funny, like
yeah, because it's like it's a mismatch, right? You at first that's exactly why, because I was thinking, oh, I'll get my mom's or Lisa's, and then the fist will sort of, you know, looks more symmetrical. But I thought, no, it's way better because mm-hmm. it kind of makes you think: is his face gigantic or is the hand small? Because put your hand next to your fist, and it covers a lot more surface area than that.
Good point. I mean, and had you done this the other way, it would be a whole different other album.
and then the other thing about this is lighting wise, this is just the softbox with the Alien B, and then I used a reflector on the other side just to fill in a little bit of to make it a little softer on his ear and on the top of his head. So the reflector's kind of off camera left, but up high and sort of pointing down. So then the crossed the crossfire of the light, because I basically have the softbox in front of him, so it's sort of past the lights passing just in front of him. What's that called again? What's the name?
Feathering
the light in front of him, and then having the reflector kick a little bit back onto his hair and onto his opposite side of his face.
That's a hot movie. I want to see that ear, man.
You want to see that ear because it looks a little off-putting when it just completely fades to black. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that feathering does, or that, not the feathering, the reflector does, is at the angle I had, because he's relatively close to the wall, is it kicks some of that light back onto the back wall. Because again, I wanted the, you know, his head to stand out from the wall. And so this kind of easy mix of where I've positioned the softbox with the reflector is it helps to fill in a nice even light on the background. Now, I added the gradient on the background because I say even, but yet you see the gradient. I added that gradient because I thought it looked better as an album cover in a gradient. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. No, this again looks good. I mean, looks to me like you also had fun with this.
I did, and it did not take long. That's the key. I did not want to spend a long time with my dad and a child's fist pushed up against his face, because I thought his eagerness to participate might be quickly squandered by their silliness. So
it diminishes quickly.
Yeah. This took all of 2 minutes. So
love it. I'd love it. I think down the road we're gonna revisit this as a challenge, just because it's, but maybe more specific. Like you have to do it, you know, one of shoes or something like that, you know.
And, yeah. yeah, definitely a shoe based challenge.
You know what skookum means? You know what skookum is, though.
It's like really good or cool or whatever. Like right. it's a word that strong. Yeah, yeah. What does it mean? Strong.
Well, skookum chuck is like a native word for strong.
Okay, I thought it. My parents used to always use it in all that. Like that's skookum was used as like that's really kind of cool or
right.
Groovy
that's what it became.
Yeah, yeah,
it became awesome. It's a very Canadian thing. And so that's why I chose that too. Both of my titles, my band's names, have Canadian slants to them. So that's why. And skookum, I wanted to make sure everyone knew what skookum meant. And
okay,
it's a word that I don't use enough, and I'm gonna bring it into my vernacular.
Great.
Yeah.
I showed some guys at work my. My picture, just sort of, you know, in passing, I had it on my phone in Dropbox, because I have Dropbox on my phone. So I showed them my album cover, and they said selfie sticks. They're like, those things are awesome.
And I
sort of paused for a second. I said, what? And they said, yeah, no, my brother had one of those, and you know, he was like, you know, taking a whole picture of his family with it, and then I had to just walk away.
Are you sorry that you started that?
Yeah, I was mad because it was supposed to be, you know, tongue-in-cheek, and yet they're like, it turned into a big love fest on a selfie stick. Now, none of them are photographers, so that's...
Oh,
so that's
clearly.
So there's that, but yeah, I reprimanded them before I walked away, yeah.
Listen, let's go stand near the top of the stairs for a second. I got to... wow. Well, those things are cool. All right, we're done.
I think that the parade today might be a selfie stick fest.
Do me, I know this goes against what you normally stand for, but snap a few photos of people.
This shaming, public shaming.
Actually, you know what you need to do? You know what would be great? Are you going to wear your hoser's shirt?
I was planning on it, but...
Do it. And yeah. Here's what you have to do. Here's what I would like. I would do it if I was there this year. I'm not there this year. Go and ask a random stranger to take a selfie of the two of you with their selfie stick and have them email it to you.
I don't know if I can do that.
Just say, listen, I have a show. I'd love it if you... But then the jig will be up because they will listen back
will
and go,
know.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
I don't think I can do that. That's an outrage move. That's not a Schwartz move.
I would completely do that.
I know you would.
Yeah. And then afterwards, in the return email, I'd give him a heads up. I'd put the link to the selfie stick episode with the time code of where they should start listening, just to save them the time.
Right.
It might not.
I might be overestimating the number of selfie sticks that I think will be present. But
what's the over under? What's your over under? I'm going to say 5.5 is definitely. I mean, it'll be over. Like if it's 5.5,
I was
going to
say higher than that. I was going to say about 8.
We have to do 8.5.
Okay, 8.5. Yeah. 8 could be a push.
Well, is 8, okay, if it's 8.5 is the over under, what are you going? Over or under?
I think I'd go under.
You're gonna go under 8. Okay. All right. Yeah, I well, only because you're not if you were in the parade and thus saw the entire parade. Like, are you saying that people spectating the parade or people in the parade will have selfie sticks?
I think there'll be both. I think there'll be people spectating and there'll be people in the parade. And now the thing is, they all count, but some people might be using it to get, like, you know, a better angle up
above. There is no better angle of a parade.
No, but I'm just saying it, for the usage of selfie sticks, it counts even if you're not taking a selfie, right?
Right.
You just need to be carrying the stick. If you're even using it to video or whatever, whatever you may be doing, still it's an identifiable object that we can count it.
We can judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and say that in the parade itself, the over under is 3.5.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
I'll take the over on that. There's gonna be 4 people. And I'm not counting the guys in the band who have their music on the little selfie stick in front of their trumpet.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
But I'll say you'll see at least 4 selfie sticks in the parade this year.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. I will keep track. I will keep a mental count.
Good. I'm looking forward to you reporting back.
This update, yeah.
All right. This week's topic. Well, guess what? Summer is in full swing. It's pretty hot there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here too.
Great.
The end. That's it. Drive safe, everybody.
Yeah.
No, it's actually hot here. And so guess what happens when it's hot? Boom. Here comes the water. Sprinklers. You got your water parks, ocean, lakes, whatever it is. Everybody heads for the water.
Yes.
How do we photograph water fun?
That's the topic.
The topic is on the waterfront because I like to be kind of, you know, referential, but we're going to talk about different aspects of shooting in and around and on and under the water.
Okay.
What's that go? Okay, so starting off, I made a list of different places: ocean, lake, pool, and water park. And yes. I should put backyard in there because sprinkler is a great one. I have some video and photos of not just sprinkler but the hose. Get the hose out for the kids. That makes for great photos. So remind me at the end, but ocean, we're going to the ocean. What are we looking for? What's the first thing that you think about if you're taking pictures of the ocean? Which camera are you bringing?
Backup camera.
Bring your beater. We've talked about it for quite a number of episodes now, probably in a row. Own a beater. Your everyday driver that you can take around anywhere and don't care. You don't mind if you park it next to the shopping carts in the parking lot. You don't care if it gets banged up.
Right.
That's a pretty good way to live your life in general. If you have a car like that, that's awesome. Take your beater because there's sand, there's salt water, there's sunscreen gets everywhere. But thieves, they hang out at the water for some reason.
They do?
I don't know why. The beach, there's always thieves.
I thought seagulls.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Wait, what did I say? Thieves?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I meant seagulls. No, people seem to take the opportunity to hey, this guy's gone swimming, he's hit his wallet and his shoe, you know, boom. Unless you have, really big feet, they're going to dig your wallet out pretty quickly. And if your camera's sitting there, most people don't want to bring their camera to the beach because they know if they're going to go swimming, it's just going to get lifted. Well, if you have a beater, you're not that worried about it. And hopefully it looks like a beater. So they don't want to grab it.
Scratch it up. Take a screwdriver to it.
Well, that or duct tape or something. Make it look mean. That's what you should do.
Knock a few teeth out.
Absolutely. So I do. I take my 40D that is beat up, and only one lens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying what lens that should be. You can choose, but do yourself a favor. Do not bring multiple lenses to the beach. It's just a headache. You for many reasons. One, you don't want to switch lenses while you're at the ocean. There's too
Agreed.
Much blowing around in the air. The salt water, the sand, the thieves.
Seagulls.
Seagulls can drop a thief right in your camera. You don't want that. So I'd never, ever, ever, ever switch lenses at the ocean.
Agree.
Don't do it. So now decide ahead of time and live with it. I take one of two lenses with me. I take either the 30 millimeter on my 40D or the 85 millimeter on my 40D. And that's that. And that dictates the kind of photos I'm going to take that day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll take the 85 and think, wow, I should have the 30 here for this one shot. But, oh well, that's life.
Yeah.
Move on
and
with your day.
At the water like that, you can always back up. So the 85 is just fine.
85 is great. It's actually
50 is good too. 50 can do everything too.
Yes. Yeah. But for me, it's like I like to go one extreme to the other. I don't like to kind of go down the middle, and I like to kind of choose what sort of photos I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Now, if you do take a longer lens, the good thing about the longer lens is that you can actually get close up action in the waves
mm-hmm.
without actually having to go in the water.
Yes.
The 30 millimeter means that you're getting wet.
Yeah.
I actually recommend, no matter what, I recommend going in the water with either or. It's kind of awesome. You don't see a whole lot of people up to, you know, chest deep water with their DSLRs, do you?
Not often, no.
Not often. So what does that tell you?
They're not as good as you.
Well, or you. You would do it.
Yeah, I did it. Remember at...
Yeah.
We were at Spanish Banks, and the picture I used for a photo challenge of you jumping out of the water, like in fine form, emerging mm-hmm. victorious from the water, that was taken from me being out in the water.
And so what I'm saying is that because you don't see a lot of people out in chest deep water with their DSLRs, that means you're going to get some unique and interesting photos that other people aren't getting.
Making you better than everybody else.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the takeaway here. But that's what I'm saying. It gives you a great perspective. Like you're really in, you know, get the camera down low near the water. Don't shoot up high and down. That's a very common angle. And we have a million of those photos. Get the camera down. Don't dunk it in the water, but get it pretty close and get that good angle. That's what I recommend.
Do you have that picture that I took of you emerging from the water blown up on your ceiling?
No.
Okay. Just or maybe your kids' rooms, like the big poster of that.
I autographed it and gave it to your wife.
Oh, zing.
Also, if you're down in the water, this isn't every time, but consider a polarizer. It can cut the glare off the water reflections and can deepen the blue skies. So that's something fun to think about.
Definitely. Around water, polarizer is great.
Last thing to consider. Now, we've talked in greater detail about how to shoot at the beach and magic hour and all that. But so if you want to more tips on when to shoot, listen back to that. But something you also want to do is when you go to the beach is bring lens wipes with you. A lens cloth or just the paper wipes, whatever.
Or lens pen.
A lens pen would be great. Do you have mine? I can't find mine.
I don't know. I buy one every year, it seems, yeah. Because A, they dry out a little bit, and B, I lose them. So
I left mine on the bus, I think, which is weird because I don't even ride the bus.
They are $10, and I'm sure you probably get a 15-pack from Amazon.
Yeah, but I can't buy another one just on principle because it's me. I shouldn't have lost it.
Okay, so yeah. just live with it.
Yeah, that's it. Just have bad photos now. No, but yeah, bring something to clean your lens with because there's a lot of salt water and dust blown around and, you know, you look down and go, wow, if I just kind of go between those two spots of barbecue sauce on my t-shirt, maybe I can use that. It's going to probably wreck your lens.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. So next location I find myself in, especially with kids, is the pool.
Okay.
I love going to the pool. And not only do I love going to the pool, I love taking photos at the pool. Of my kids, of course.
Right.
It's also important to have a beater here, a camera, because kids like to splash and they don't seem to have any reverence for photo equipment anymore. Like when I was a kid, I couldn't imagine walking up with a hose and just hosing down, you know, Uncle Jeff and his Nikon.
Right.
Now kids seem to be jerks.
Well, I think part of it too is that we're saturating our kids with cameras every second, everywhere they go, that now, you know, there's no moment where there isn't somebody in the near vicinity that's got a camera, whether it's their phone or whether it's a DSLR. So I think for them, they're just like, all right, this has gone on too long. Now I'm just going to mess with it.
Interesting.
That's my perspective. That's probably correct. Their perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, get yourself a beater here. I did this today. I was at the pool this morning here on Canada Day in Germany. Took my son to the pool. And it was just him and I, but I did take the camera anyway. And it got splashed a few times. However, it's not the end of the world.
Or pick up a point-and-shoot underwater camera.
That comes later. That's something I did mark down as well. Because you have one. I don't have one. So we do want to hear about, you know.
I don't use it nearly enough to take photos. It's kind of our fun little take video tool for going in the water. But for photos, I can't think of the last time or ever taking photos with it.
Right. So this is a photo show.
Yeah, sorry. I'll save that for the video show.
But also, I mean, the chances of you leaving your camera unattended are pretty solid at the pool too. You know, like today we did that. I left it. You know, we're at the kiddie pool. In the pool we go to is huge, like a huge area, different sections. But all of a sudden, my son had enough of the kiddie pool. Wanted to go in the big pool down the slide. So I took him over there, and just I thought nothing of leaving my 40D unattended. Now I did put it under like a towel or something like that, so that, you know, if you walk by, you wouldn't just see it and you want to grab it. But it wasn't like a real secure area, so if someone had you know searched through my stuff, it wouldn't be hard to grab. So I didn't feel too bad about it. I mean, I was glad that it was there when I got back, but I didn't worry. It didn't impede on my fun when I was not using it.
Okay, that was a great story.
Also, you absolutely positively want to get in the water at the pool with your camera.
Okay.
These are the pictures that you're going to really love later on. These are some of my favorite ones of my kids swimming. And for us, obviously, swimming is a big deal. We love to go swimming. And so having great photos of this is really important to us. And so having a camera that you don't mind taking in the water and getting splashed, extremely important.
Yes.
Also, polarized are good here too, but you can figure that out. The downside of the polarizer in the pool is that your kids generally move pretty quickly all over the place, and thus the changing angle means you have to rotate the circular polarizer, and it can be a kind of a pain. So be aware of that when you decide to bring the polarizer out.
Okay, and I haven't really thought too much about that, but that's a good point.
Mm. Same as shooting in the ocean, you want to get, and this is much easier than the ocean because hopefully there's no tides in your pool. You want the camera just above the surface of the water, generally. I mean, you know, not for every shot, but you see a lot of people shooting pictures of their kids with their phones, and they're standing, you know, on the edge of the deck shooting down, and they're already much taller than their kids, and their kids are below them in the water. So you're getting pictures of the top of their heads.
Right.
That's not good. Get down in the pool. Right, and the water all of a sudden becomes a wonderful foreground element in your shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it likely goes out of focus pretty quick. And so one of the cool things about this kind of depth of field is that you can see the water going out of focus. It's not just the background, you know, behind your subject is it's just out of focus. You can see it gradually going out of focus or into focus, I guess, as you go into the photo.
Right.
So that's a great reason to have, again, a camera that you don't mind getting splashed. If you want to have a shallow depth of field when you're shooting at the pool, we're talking outdoor pool now.
Yeah.
Because this is summertime.
Okay.
Like, for example, Steveston Pool.
Yes.
Very, very, very bright.
Especially if you're going during the sunny time, which you probably are.
It is extreme. There's a lot of light there because just like the surrounding buildings and it's like the cement. There's no grass there. So there's really no break from the light. So you're going to have to, if you want a shallow depth of field, you might want to consider bringing an ND filter.
Mm-hmm.
at ISO 100 and an F4, you might be able to get a 1/4,000th of a second. Maybe. But that's, if you're taking one of your cheaper cameras, that's probably going to be the max end of your shutter speed. It's not going to go any faster than that.
Right.
So you might get an F4, you might not. It might be an F4.56 split. But if you want to shoot something like an F2.8 or a 2 and you really want to blow, get rid of that, the background, now you're looking at needing an ND filter. So that's something to think about.
Okay.
I also find at the pool, and that, let me know how you find this, is that the white balance tends to skew a little towards the blue in the skin tones.
Yes, which makes sense because of all the blue that you're surrounded by.
Well, at the pool, technically water's clear, yet it takes on a blue tinge to it, right?
At the pool?
At the pool.
It's pretty blue.
It is. Well, okay, but when you put it in your hand, it's actually clear.
It's water. But I think it's just because of the fact that it's the tiling and everything in the pools tries to bring it, turns the surface color to look blue to your camera.
Right. So everything, I find that even the skin tones skew a little bit blue, and so I end up correcting for that later. I shoot raw and then adjust the white balance later and bring it up, warm it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And try to get some sort of a nice balance without going too warm. Because then you can lose it in the sky, and it's a delicate balance, but I do warm it up a little bit.
Okay.
Lake. What have you got for lake?
It's fun to go there.
I enjoy the lake.
We're actually going to the lake. We'll have just come back from the lake when this airs. We're going to the lake tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
Ooh, wonderful.
We're going to a Soyuz, so I've never been there.
Is that true?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Love it up there.
So I'm going to bring the camera, and then when we talk next week, I will have taken some photos because I'm bringing the camera to take some photos at the lake because I love going to any lake because it's fun. You're jumping into the water. You're floating around on floaties. It's going to be really warm at this lake because it's ridiculously hot. I think they've been getting temperatures around 40 for the last week. So
the lake
will be a swimming pool, how warm it will
be. You're going to like this photo challenge then.
Okay, the lake.
No. The photo challenge this week is not a Soyuz. So, and if you're listening at home here, which, of course, where else would you be listening or work? A Soyuz, that's a place in Canada.
Yeah, in the interior of British Columbia.
Is it? A Soyuz is probably a Soyuz.
Yeah, a Soyuz.
But we call it a Soyuz.
Yeah.
Up near Oliver. It's up. It's right by Oliver.
Yeah, I've never been to either location.
But. We used to go to a place in Oliver. There's a lake up there called Tuckalnui Lake. There you go.
Oh, okay.
I just love the names.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can take a picture of the sign.
Tuckalnui Lake. So here's the thing. The lake is pretty much the same as the pool in the ocean with maybe one or two little differences. With one, you're probably not going to get a wharf or a dock in the pool.
Right.
So that's something that always makes for a nice design element, like late at night, like sort of in blue hour, that the wharf or the dock is really, really, you're going to be hard pressed not to get a framer if you take a picture of that at night with reflections and whatnot. But let's say you're out in the day and maybe you take a canoe on the lake.
Yeah, they actually, the place we're staying says they have a canoe that you can take out whenever you want.
Wonderful. My tip to you is, if you are then doing that, take your camera out with you, bring a waterproof bag or like a Ziploc or something just to transport your camera while you're paddling.
I was hoping to not be in the boat and stand in the water and take a picture of my wife with the kids paddling in the canoe. I'm going to try to dodge this entirely.
You don't want a canoe?
With my children? Not sure.
How's your J stroke?
I know how to paddle a canoe. Uh-huh. I haven't paddled a canoe for a while, but yeah, I'm thinking with my two monkeys in the boat, it might be disaster.
That will be not as bad as a portage. That's the hard part. Because wow. Especially when your daughter wants to ride on your shoulders while you're portaging.
Yeah, and my son wants to, you know how they want to stand on your foot and grab your leg and you swing them through?
That sounds like a great vacation.
Yeah.
All right. So if you do drop your camera in the water, it happens.
Okay.
What do you do? Assuming it's shallow enough that you can get it out.
Don't turn it on.
Do not turn it on. In fact, if it's on, because sometimes you just leave it on, right? And if it goes in the water, it's not activated. I would actually pop the battery out really quickly. It's the first thing I would do is pop the battery out, leave that thing open, and then get the memory card out as soon as you can. And then let it all dry out thoroughly before even attempting to turn it on.
What about the rice trick? You know how people say when they drop their cell phone in the water or when they put it in the washing machine, they'll like put it in a bag of rice, and I guess the rice pulls some of the moisture.
I've never heard that.
No, that's a popular thing.
Not only do I not have a cell phone, I don't juggle it over a body of water.
But you can see how it would be a common problem that somebody would drop it in leave it in their pants and put it in the washing machine or something. It happens. I haven't done it personally, but I can see it happening. And I've always heard, if you drop your cell phone in water, put it in a bag of rice.
Interesting. I have not heard of that, but sure. I'm assuming you're going to get rice.
I'll research it.
You're going to get rice bits in your camera, but okay.
Well, I don't think you have to fully submerge your camera. Like, I think you would just, I'll look at it. I'll do some research. Right. Anyone else who's done this can chime in and let us know how this works.
Point being, don't turn it on and go, hey, I wonder if it still works. It's going to not. It's going to short out probably. There's no guarantee that it's going to work anyways. But if this happens, turning it on is a bad idea. Okay, last place.
One more thing on that note. Dwayne Gervin, at one of the workshops, I don't know if it was the same one that you were on, he told a story about being out with a photographer who is sort of helping him with a shoot like at the beach, and they had some flashes on stands and they were in the water, and I guess one of the guys tipped the flash over and it went fully submerged into the water. I think I'm telling the story right. I might be making one up, but ultimately what happened was the flash went in the water, and then the guy that picked the flash up, he's like, wonder if it still works, and boom, flipped it on, and Dwayne's comment was something along the lines of, not anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if you drop it into salt water, that's you're in a tough situation there.
Yeah.
Last location. Now, this one kind of doubles up. We're gonna combine these two because it's a very similar principle. Is the backyard with the sprinkler and the water park. Now, this one is a little different than the other three scenarios that we brought up. Well, there is no body of water specifically. But this is a situation where you're going to benefit from using a long lens and staying out of the action.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Yeah, you can bring your lounge chair and just sit there with the 70-200 and go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. 70-200 on the crop sensor camera and be across town enjoying a bevy.
You'd be at home just with a series of mirrors and it's ideal. It's an ideal situation. But the other ones, like I really do try to get in the action because now you're participating, blah blah blah. You know, for all the different reasons. But this one, it's actually counter, and it's counter to what you want because if you get in the action, there's going to be so much spray and splashing that it's going to get on the front element, and you're just going to get poor results. Like, let alone you don't want to get your camera wet. If the front element gets wet, it's not the end of the world at all, by any means. But you aren't going to get very good pictures if it's covered with water.
Right.
So in this situation, I don't really worry about, you know, bringing a beater versus my good camera. Not only do I not get involved in the action, I mean, which is the case, but I never have time to, or never find myself putting my camera down and leaving it unattended.
Right.
Because, you know, at the pool, you know, I want to be able to grab my kid really quickly in case they drown, but my kid's probably not going to drown at the water park. And what we're talking about is like not the water slides or something like that. We're talking about the
Playgroundy spray parks that, you know, communities have. I mean, they do here. I'm assuming they do in the U.S. They have them in Germany as well.
No,
you're saying no, they don't have
them. They don't. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to clarify what this is. No, despite being really into that kind of thing, there's no way they have that thing here. So whenever the Germans are in Canada and see them, they just are amazed. They can't believe it's free. So, well, it's not really free. It's tax dollars, but there's no admission charge.
Yeah, it's like going to the playground. And usually they're positioned next to playgrounds. For the most part, they are here. And it's just like, again, a big concrete slab with a bunch of spraying water apparatus and a big drain in the middle. And then that's it. That's what it is. The kids run around. Usually the real little ones just love it. And then they run through the different obstacles that spray water at you.
Yes. Now, this is what my kids love this place. When we're in town there in Steveston, and they really love it, but I never find that I actually have to put my camera down. Worst case, I might hand it to my wife to hold, but I'd never have to leave it unattended. So that case, the 5D usually comes out here, because I get good photos. Now, your style may vary on what you want, but generally, I much prefer to shoot with a very high shutter speed. As close to the max as I can get and still have a little wiggle room. So 1/6400th of a second up to 1/8000th of a second.
Okay.
Just because this stops a lot of the water. Like, there's water droplets everywhere splashing down in various, some in focus, some out of focus. And when they're stopped down at 1/8000th of a second, it looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Also, the kids are running around, usually, and so this will freeze them, too. Hopefully freeze them mid-stride. So, in this case, on a very sunny day, with my 70-200, I'm going to set the ISO to 320. I set it to F4, which is as wide as mine goes. I have the F4L, same as you do. And probably come in at around 1/8000th of a second is probably where that shutter speed's going to be.
I have another little favorite trick in this scenario, and that is high speed sync with the off camera flash. You need a second party to pull this off, because mm-hmm. I'm not hooking up a light stand around this environment.
No.
But if you can coax your significant other or one of your children to holding a flash for a few minutes. The high speed sync, just to give a little tiny bit of fill, a little flick of light in their faces as they're running through the water, looks magnificent in this situation. Yeah. And sometimes lights up some of the water a little bit, and you just need a tiny bit. Like you say, if you're shooting at a shutter speed that, you're in the thousands of a second, the amount of light you're going to get here is pretty minimal, but it is something that will make a difference in your photo if you can get that flash at a relatively close range here.
Yes, that is a very, very cool move. And again, you're not going to see other people with those photos. That's kind of really unique that you're going to get that. I mean, unique to other photographers, but not your general iPhone shooters.
And it can't be done really here with the situation you're explaining with the long lens and back and getting away from it with the on-camera flash, because there'll be no flash left to hit your subject.
Right.
So you've got to do it the off-camera version, and it does work great. But of course, you'll need to pick up a pair of Yongnuo triggers on Amazon to do that.
Yeah. That's right. The other move I like to do in this case, I don't do the off-camera ETT or the high-speed sync, but burst mode is something that's very important here at the water park, because focus is going to be tough. It's going to be in and out, because no matter which mode you use, if your kid's moving and you try to use one of the tracking modes, it's probably going to get confused by some of the water that's flying around. So you kind of have to do your best, and you're going to have a lot of misses. So for that reason, burst mode is really important. You can't use burst mode with high speed sync, but it comes in really handy if you're just shooting with available light. And like you said, it's nice when it lights up the water. So even if you don't have high-speed sync flash, try some shots with the sun behind the water spray. This kind of cool backlighting effect is going to give you a great result, which we've talked about in the last couple shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my tip on how to shoot water-related stuff.
Cool.
Tip, sir.
And you had a photo challenge.
Photo challenge is water. Isn't that nice how it dovetails with your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to the water.
I'm not.
Okay.
But
you're going to go to the pool, though.
Between now and next, yeah, probably between before next show, most likely.
So we're all good.
Yeah, it'll work out. It'll work out just fine.
Okay.
That's it, Adam.
All right. What about your stuff?
We start with yours. Where can people find your photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca, and of course, my stuff occasionally appears on the Two Hosers. I'm going to put the picture of my daughter up right when we finish this. And your stuff, of course.
At AlanEtridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the stuff that we just talked about. That's it, Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.